From anointed men and women of God that lay hands on you in faith and believe God, there's an impartation of God's anointing and God's Spirit that will come in your life. But if you're going to be helped to any greater degree in your life, what you're going to have to do is get into the Word of God and begin to meditate on it, begin to believe it, and see it operate in your life. So God does move in two different ways. One is through the gifts of the Holy Ghost, and there only as the Spirit of God wills, and we'll see this, it's not something that I can turn on and turn off as I get ready. It's only as the Spirit of God will. We pray. We ask for Him to move that way. I was seeking God today, asking God to demonstrate Himself, manifest Himself, because I'm here to tell you, I ain't got no rabbits to pull out of the hat, and God don't show up, I'm in a heap of trouble. You understand? In fact, I'm not going to pull no rabbit out of no hat, because I'll tell you this, because you'll get in trouble trying to perform before people. I don't want to perform. I want to be a minister of the gospel. You understand? But at the same time, I want you to know that God does move through the gifts of the Holy Ghost, and they are already in operation. Like I said, as I was here, the Spirit of God spoke to me, and sometimes, this is the way it happens to me, sometimes I actually take on the physical symptoms of somebody that's in the audience. And if I've never had it happen one time that every case, 100% of the time, every case of anybody's physical symptoms that I ever took on, every case, 100% of the time, was immediately healed. Every time. But it's only as a spirit, that's something that I can't do. Now, when it first started happening, to be honest with you, the first account I ever had of that, I was in a meeting, and I was in a prayer room in the back, and I was fixing to walk out, and when I started to walk out into the auditorium, all of a sudden, it felt as if my heart was about to quit. It felt like it was going to burst up, the awfulest pain that you would ever want to know. And I mean, I'm in perfect health, as far as I know. They put me on them treadmill things, you know, hooked me up to the bionic wires and everything, and they guaranteed me I'd live at least 5 more years, you understand? They can only guarantee you 5 years at a time, according to this heart specialist. You know, I'm a pilot, so I have to get a physical every 2 years. And so they guaranteed me the last one that I could live at least 5 more years. I said, you can't give me no more than that. He said, you can come back 5 more years and I'll give you 5 more. He said, but well, that's all that they'll allow me to do in the medical profession. I said, I'm glad you ain't God. Because I mean, you only give me 5 years at a time. That kind of cuts it off here, you know? I think God would long life, He'll satisfy us and show us our salvation. But I was in the room and I'm in perfect health and I'm walking out and I mean, the pain just hit me and I about doubled over and I didn't realize what in the world it was. And I thought, well, my God, I'm too young to have a heart attack. You know, what's going on here? And I said, my Lord, I'm too young to have a heart attack. What's going on? And so I straightened back up and took a few more steps and it hit me again. And this time, brother, I thought, I'm going down. This is it. And I wanted to yell for the pastor, come quickly, come quickly, you know. And he then walked out ahead of me and I straightened back up again. And then all of a sudden, it just pain was so in my heart. And it, I don't know, heart palpitations is what I kept getting. And I'd never had them, didn't know what they was. But my heart was just racing and speed up and slow down and all that kind of stuff. And I said, what in the world's going on? And finally it dawned on me. I said, you reckon it's God trying to speak to me? And I said, God, what are you trying to say to me? Is that you talking to me? He said, yes. He said, I've been trying to get your attention. He said, there's people that's going to be in the audience tonight that has heart palpitations. And he said, this is the gifts of the Spirit operating through you to show you in advance what I want to do in the service. And he said, when you get out there, he said, before you do anything else, he said, I want you to call these people up with heart palpitations only. And he said, I want you to minister to them. Why did he say only? I don't know, but if God says do it, do it. You understand? And I said, well, God, you don't have to kill me of doing it. You understand? And telling me about this. He said, well, if you wasn't so hard-headed, I wouldn't have to shake you so hard. He said, the more sensitive you get to me, he said, the less abrupt I'll have to be to you. He said, but I had to be abrupt to get your attention. And so sometimes, not all the time, but sometimes the gifts of the Spirit will operate through me that way when it comes to healing and the healing anointing. And I know that healing anointing is here tonight. But at the same time, God doesn't move just through the gifts of the Spirit. He moves through faith in His Word. But let's look at 1 Corinthians chapter number 12, verse number 1. 1 Corinthians 12, verse number 1. Says, now concerning spiritual gifts, brethren, he said, I would not have you ignorant. He said, you know that you were Gentiles, carried away into these dumb idols, even as you were led. Wherefore I give you to understand that no man speaking by the Spirit of God calleth Jesus accursed, and that no man can say that Jesus is the Lord but by the Holy Ghost. Says, now there are diversities or differences of gifts, says, but it's the same Spirit, the same Holy Ghost. And there are differences of administrations or different ways that God administers the gifts of the Spirit through somebody, says, but the same Lord. A good example of that, somebody, he may just give a word of knowledge. He may just implant something in your spirit that will come to your mind and said, this person has this particular problem, and you minister to them that way. Another way that it could be difference of administration is you actually take on the symptoms of an individual, and in that particular way is a different administration of the way he's doing, but it's the same Spirit, and it's the gifts of the Holy Ghost in operation, manifestation, demonstration. Verse number 6 says, and there are diversities of operations, but it's the same God which worketh all in all. It says, but the manifestation of the Spirit is given to every man to profit withal. For to one is given by the Spirit the word of wisdom, to another the word of knowledge by the same Spirit, to another faith by the same Spirit, to another the gifts of healing by the same Spirit, to another the working of miracles, to another prophecy, to another discerning of spirits, to another different kinds or divert kinds of tongues, to another the interpretation of tongues. Says, but these all worketh that one and the self same Spirit, dividing to every man severally as he will. Now that's what I want you to point out in here. The gifts of the Spirit do operate and function, but how do they function? As he wills and not as I will. I can't turn them on and I can't turn them off. All I've got to do is be sensitive and be open to God. If he chooses to use us that way and move that way, we go that way. And tonight he's going to move that way. He's going to minister by the gifts of the Holy Ghost. So I'm just letting you know in ahead of time what God's going to do. Said, Brother Randy, how can you do that? To the gift of faith that God has dropped on me to minister tonight. The gift of faith a lot of times will work in line with the gifts of healing. In fact, many of these gifts coincide and intertwine and interlace together in order for God's will and God's plan to take place. So words of wisdom, words of knowledge, gifts of healings, the gift of faith can all work in unison together. And many times they do, and so thank God that they will. But that is not the only way that God moves. He don't move just through the gifts of the Spirit, because if He did, we'd be limited in what we could receive from God. But thank God there is no limit on what you can receive from God, because as Jesus told me driving up the road, He said to talk to me about the seed. He said everything begins with a seed. And so if you want something to take place in your life, you can take the seed of God's Word. Let's turn over to Peter. Just hold your place there. Or just, you can drop your place there because we probably won't come back there. Just turn over to Peter. 1 Peter chapter number 1, verse number 23. Everything begins with a seed. And so if the gifts of the Spirit don't go into operation and you're not ministered to by the gifts of the Spirit, can you still receive from God? Absolutely so. You absolutely can receive from God, but how are you going to do it? You're going to do it through a seed that you plant. What seed should you get? The only place that you can get a seed for success is God's Word. In fact, God's Word, we're going to see here, is called the incorruptible seed of God's Word. You know, you may get a bunch of turnip seeds or pumpkin seeds or collard seeds or corn seeds, and out of all the seeds you plant, you know, a percentage of them probably won't come up. You understand? There may be something wrong with that seed. But when you go get the heavenly seed of God's Word, it is an incorruptible seed, and if the seed says it, it's going to produce it. Everything produces after its kind. See, if you want apple trees, you got to plant apple seeds, and you're going to get apples. If you want peaches, you've got to plant peach seeds and then you're going to get peaches. Isn't that right? Everything produces after its kind. Well, if you'll take God's Word and begin to sow His seed into your garden, then I'll guarantee you His seed is going to come up over time in your life. That don't mean it couldn't happen instantaneously, but most of the things that you receive from God by faith take place over a period of time. And so, not only does God remember, move through the gifts of the Holy Ghost and demonstrate Himself through that way, but He also ministers through faith in His Word. In 1 Peter chapter number 1, I don't know if I said chapter 2, but it's chapter 1, verse number 23. says, being born again, says, not of corruptible seed, says, but of incorruptible by the word of God which liveth and abideth forever. Notice what he said here. The word of God is the incorruptible seed which liveth and abideth forever. And so if you want to change the outcome in your life, what you've got to do is begin to plant a garden in your life. Do you know that you are God's garden? Where do you plant the seed of God at? You plant it inside of you. You plant it inside of your heart. If you want to see God's Word come to pass in life, if you want to see God's seed grow up and produce in your life, then you've got to take God's Word and get it off this page and get it into a working, vibrant reality in your life. It's called putting faith into action, because I'm telling you, God's Word will produce. Said, Brother Randy, where in the world am I going to get faith from? Turn to Romans chapter 10. And let's look at this. Elementary, but same time we need to go over this and just cover every base. Romans chapter 10, because many of you are going to be healed tonight through the gifts of the Spirit, but if you're going to maintain it and keep it, then the way that you're going to do it is through faith in God's Word. The Bible says that by His stripes ye were healed. The Bible says that He took your infirmities and He bare your sicknesses and diseases. Well, if He done it, then that means it's already done, and it belongs to you and it belongs to me. But where do we get that faith from? We get it from the Word of God. In Romans chapter 10, verse number 17, it says, so then faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. And so in order for you to get faith, the seed of God and the faith of God, every seed of God or every word of God is a container of faith. It is a capsule of faith. But in order for you to get that faith off this page and get it into your heart, there's only one way. The Bible says that faith comes by... Faith comes by what? Hearing. And you know who you're going to believe above anybody else on planet Earth? You. You're going to believe you. You're going to believe me to a certain extent, but you know statistics show that you're going to believe about 7% of what I say tonight. Excuse me. And I don't go by statistics, but I'm just telling you, that's what they say. Your learning, your capacity takes up about 87% of what you see. So you're moved more visually than you are by what you hear. And that's why you'll hear me repeat things over and over and over and over, because the percentage that I do have to get in you, I'm just trying to drill it in there. So what you're going to have to do is spend time what I'm doing. Yakking and opening your mouth, speaking the Word of God to yourself. Amen. I'm just here for a short period of time involved in your life. You know, just for a few moments, an hour or so or less, you understand? Speaking God's Word. So if you're going to benefit to any greater degree from getting faith in God's Word, then what you're going to have to do is get this Word, find Scriptures. Find Scriptures that promise you whatever it is that you're believing for. Meditate on that Scripture. Speak that Scripture out loud to yourself. See, faith comes from hearing God's Word. And in order to get faith into your heart, let me just kind of throw this in. God's kind of gave me this illustration not too long ago, and I'm not trying to be vulgar. But see, when you eat food, you just start the digestive process. The food going into your mouth is not the end result of you getting energy and strength from that food. Did you know that? What you have to do is your body has to, excuse me, meditate on that food for a while. It's according to what you eat as to how long it meditates. You eat some big old pieces of steak, you understand, and lay them out there and just stuff your tummy with steak. You know what's going to happen? If you eat too much, you're going to be saying, oh, I wish I'd never done that. Oh, I wish I'd never done that. And your stomach's going to go to hollering at you from down there and send signals to the brain and say, you shouldn't have done that. You shouldn't have done that. You shouldn't have done that. Because you've done that, now you're going to be in pain. Oh, plop, plop, fizz, fizz. Oh, what a relief it is. You understand? So your body is going to have to work at digesting whatever it is you're putting in your body. And it's according to what food you eat as to how long it takes to digest it. Isn't that right? I mean, if it's a simple kind of food, vegetable, it goes, you know, you get the nutrients out of it quicker and it goes through your body faster. But that's the same way with God, where the same principle applies. Just taking God's Word and putting it into your mouth only begins the digestive process of you getting the nutrients from God's Word. And that's why many people fail to receive what they want from God. It's because they don't spend enough time developing themselves in the faith of God's Word. For instance, a good example is this. Dr. Lillian B. Yeomans was around during the late 1800s, and she was a medical doctor. In fact, her practice was, and she just loved people so much, that she'd work way above and beyond her call of duty. And she got to the point just to stay up with everything that she was doing and, take care of all the patients. She started to taking drugs and even actually got to the point of taking all kind of drugs to keep her awake. And then she got to the point that she couldn't go to sleep without taking morphine. So she got hooked on drugs in the late 1800s and early 1900s, got hooked on drugs and didn't know what in the world to do. But finally, to make a long story short, she lost her practice, lost her privileges to be a doctor. And so at her lowest point in life, she got born again. I mean, her life turned around and God called her into the ministry and she became a doctor for Jesus. Amen. And so she started this home for people that were invalids. I mean, people had come down to the end of the road and there's no hope for them to live whatsoever. Back then, tuberculosis was just rampant across the country. There was no known cure for it. If you got tuberculosis, basically, you're going under, you know? And so medical science and the normal hospitals had done everything they could to help this one particular lady. And so everybody knew about Dr. Lillian B. Yeomans, and she had this home for people that were afflicted and sick, and on their deathbed, so to speak. When medical science had given up, she didn't say absolutely emphatically that she could help every single person. She knew Jesus could do it. But if people would do what she told them to do, she got a good percentage of everybody that come into that house that was supposed to die, she got a good percentage of them healed. And so this particular lady that had tuberculosis, she came to her. Medical science had done everything she could do for her, and she came in and they put her up on the second story. It's a two-story house. And they put her on the second floor. And so she asked Dr. Yeomans, "What do you want me to do? What kind of medicine are you giving me?" She's in and out of consciousness, because of the pain that she was going in, the racking stuff that was going through her lungs with the tuberculosis. And Dr. Yeomans prescribed to her Galatians 3:13. Which says, "Christ has redeemed me from the curse of the law, being made a curse for me. For cursed is everyone that hangeth on the tree." Tuberculosis is under the curse, and if Christ became a curse for me, I'm not under the curse anymore. So that means tuberculosis has no right to be in my body. In the name of Jesus, I am free from tuberculosis. And she said, "Now I want you to take this medicine that I'm giving you." Dr. Yeomans said, "This medicine, which is the Word of God, faith comes by what? Hearing." He said, "I want you to say this every time that you can muster up the energy to say it, you say it out of your mouth. Just over and over, Christ has redeemed me from the curse of the law. Tuberculosis is under the curse of the law. Therefore, I no longer have tuberculosis because it's under the curse and I'm not under the curse. You're not under the curse. I'm here to tell you, you are free from any disease or whatever else the devil has tried to put on you. You're free from it. You're out from under the curse because Jesus Christ redeemed you from it." And so she told this lady to say it. So this lady went to say it day in and day out, day in and day out, day in. Every time Dr. Yeomans would come by, she was fixing them food and lunch and encouraging them, come by and sit with them, read them, make sure they're confessing. Faith comes by what? Hearing. So Dr. Yeomans is trying to get faith in her, and she is also getting her to plant seed, this incorruptible seed, into her garden, which is her heart. The only way you're going to get a garden to grow is to put some seed in the garden, you understand? And our gardens will grow. I'll tell you the truth about it. They'll grow if you don't put any seeds in them. They'll grow weeds and cuckabars and all kind of briars and everything, But I'm talking about if you want to get the right results in a garden, you got to plant the right seed in that garden. Isn't that right? And so this lady, she told Dr. Yeomans, "I have said this at least 1,000 times or more, and I seemingly get no results." You know what Dr. Yeomans said? "Keep saying it. Keep saying it. Keep saying it. Because faith comes by hearing. If I could talk you into doing this tonight, if I could talk you into doing this tonight, by the end of this week, everything in your life would be all right." Woo! Woo! Said, "Brother Randy, you're bold." "No, I'm flat telling you the truth." And that's what's happened today, is we won't take the time necessary to get into God's Word and meditate on God's Word and plant the seed of God's Word into our garden or our heart so that it can grow and produce. And I'm not belittling anybody or knocking anybody, but I'm here to tell you, we live in a microwave society. Understand? I live there too. Bang, bang, boom, me, hello, let's go. But that's not the way God works. God is the same yesterday, today, and forever, and His principles remain the same. He said, I change not, and He does not. And so Dr. Yeomans kept telling her, just say it, just keep saying it, keep saying it. She said, Christ has redeemed me from the curse of the law. Tuberculosis is under the curse. I'm just giving a short version, but it wasn't much more than this. Christ has redeemed me from the curse of the law. Tuberculosis is under the curse of the law. Therefore, I no longer have tuberculosis. I'm free. And she just kept saying it. Her mind said, you lying. Her body told her, you're lying. All the symptoms are there. I mean, she's dying from all physical symptoms. Her body is going under. She's drowning in her lungs with this tuberculosis that's in there. But she just kept on. One day, Dr. Yeomans writes in her book, about 3 days later, I believe, after she started this, that she was down in the kitchen preparing the lunch meal, you know. And she said, all of a sudden, she heard the awfulest racket, a jumping and a shaking and everything, and somebody are running, and all of a sudden it was this lady that had been saying this, that Christ has redeemed me from the curse of the law, and tuberculosis under the curse, therefore I no longer have tuberculosis. And she come a running down the stairs. I had to carry her up on a stretcher, and she come running down these two stories, said, Dr. Yeomans, you know that Christ redeemed me from the curse of the law, and I no longer have tuberculosis. She said, that's what I've been trying to tell you ever since you walked in the door. You are free. Christ has set you free. Christ has set you free. Christ has set you free. Jesus came to redeem you. He came to redeem me. And you're already set free. But it'll never be a reality in your life unless you take this incorruptible seed and get it into your garden, which is your heart. And it takes time to do. I beg you. I beg you to get God's Word and just do it. Try it. Don't take my word for it. Prove me a lie. I dare you, prove me into a lie. You'll take this word of God right here. Prove it to a lie. Prove it and see if it's a lie. Try God and see if He won't work for you. God will do it for you. And you don't have to quote every scripture in the Bible. One word believed and acted upon will forever change your life. So don't just wait for the gifts of the Spirit to go in operation, manifestation, demonstration, which they might. But you understand, God's going to move in our lives on a daily basis and over a period of time through faith in His Word. And that's how we're going to receive. How do we get faith? Where does faith come from? Faith comes from hearing God's Word. And so that's what we got to do. We got to get into that place of faith. And let me talk about faith. Can I throw this in and talk about my daddy's garden a little bit, Pastor Brown? God will not let me get away from the basics. Because I'm here to tell you, I could have you shouting and swinging from these fans right here if they'd swing you around. I know how to work an audience. Excuse me. I do. I've been in the ministry now since 1984. I know how to make you swing and shout, and I'll make you flip down the aisle and roll on the floor and slobber at the mouth and gnash at your teeth. I know how to motivate people. You know, I do. But that ain't going to help you in the long run. If you don't know what to do when you hit this carpet down here, the devil's going to eat your lunch when you walk out there. I've done all that. I've done flipped all the buttons and done all those things. And brother, I got tired of seeing people hurting. And I'd go away from those kind of meetings. Now, does that mean that we're not going to have them kind of meetings? Absolutely not. I'm going to have them all the time. Pastor Brown will tell you. He was just in a meeting with us. We had a minister's conference there. And I run all over the building. I run more than anybody in there. Woo-hoo! I was a dancing and a shouting and a running and a jumping, you know. I was trying to get some of them preachers excited, to be honest with you, you know, because I was excited. But there's nothing wrong with that. We need to have that. We need to have different kinds of services. Somebody asked me one time, said, Brother Randy, said, what is the biggest problem you see in the church today? And I said, well, now, I don't offer information, but since you asked me, I said, I'll tell you. I said, the biggest problem is that we don't have different kinds of services. We want to lump every service into one service. We want to have a praise and worship service. We want to have a joy service. We want to have a teaching service. We want to have a revival. We want to have everything. And God never intended it to be that way. We need to focus in. Somebody that's ahead of the meeting needs to pray and find out what God wants to do in that service and get up and do what God says do. You understand? And that don't mean that God may not flow in different areas and us have to go with that flow. But most of the time, God's going to be emphasizing that one different aspect of the gospel in each one of the services. And so we need to learn how to have different kinds of services. We need to learn to have kinds of services where we shout, we dance, we run, we jump, we hop. See, I come up in old-time Pentecost, and I'll guarantee you, there's one thing that we did not have in old time Pentecost is we did not have a health club or a workout club because you didn't need them. Every service you came to, brother, you got a good cardiovascular workout. Wow! I mean, they shouted, danced, hopped, run the tops of the pews in the back, the front, and I say, you'll get set. No, we ought to run a few now. I'm for it 100%. But at the same time, if all you got is shout, and you don't have no word to drive out the doubt, then I'll guarantee you ain't going to stand for very long. So you got to have a balance between the two. And there's a balance in God. If there's anything to ever want to be known about Brother Randy, if anything ought to be known, is he is a balanced preacher. Balanced. You know, I want to be balanced because I know what's going to help you. And like I said, we could grab hold of these fans tonight. I could motivate you and have you flipping, flopping, rolling, hopping, and everything else. And we could sling off these fans. But when you go out of here, if you don't know what to do to stand, then you're not going to stand. And so, talking about faith, and what is faith really? And I've shared this so much over the years, but it's what God just taught me to share. What is faith? See, if you don't know what faith is, then you can't operate in the principle of faith. So I went to Hebrews chapter 11, verse 1, and I began to look in there because I've heard it preached and taught. But with my degree, my educational degree, only goes to an LLDR degree, and that's long-legged devil runner. So, excuse me, I could not find, in the Hebrews 11, 1, a definition that suited me. Because it says, faith is the substance of things hoped for. It is the evidence of things that you cannot see. Faith is a substance of things that I hope for, but what is faith? Faith is the evidence of things that I cannot see or perceive with my physical senses, but what in the world is faith? What is that? So I want to tell you what faith is. I was home from Bible school, and not everybody has to go to Bible school, but I just needed so much help that God sent me to Bible school, and they're still working on me today. You understand? So don't give up on me. I'll make it after a while. But I remember coming home from Bible school, and I was telling my dad, we're sitting around talking, and my dad said, son, he said, I've been planting me a garden this year down outside there in actually in Marion County in Juniper, Georgia area. He had about 5 acres of land, and he'd done broke him up about a quarter acre. One of them tiller kind of things, half tractor, half tiller. One of them kind of, if it hangs a stump, you better hang on because it's going to throw you. I mean, it wasn't one of them little ones. I mean, it had the power because it done drugged me a little bit, you know. I mean, when it dug in, it had the power to dig up or throw you one. If it hung a stump, something going to move. If the stump didn't move, you would if you was hanging on to it. So, Daddy done turned him up some ground and broke up the roots and everything. And he started telling me about this wonderful garden. He said, son, I got the most beautiful garden you'd ever want to see. I said, Daddy, what you got down there in your garden? He said, I got some cucumbers, I got some squash, I got some tomatoes, I got some okra, I got some black-eyed peas, I got watermelons. I said, Daddy, that sounds like a garden. He said, son, you want to see my garden? I said, yes, Daddy. I said, I want to see this garden. I had visions and dreams of coming back with a 5-gallon bucket full of black-eyed peas in the hull, you know. I had visions of coming back with watermelons, you understand? Oh, man, I had visions of them. I told my wife, I'm going down to the country with Daddy. I went in the other room because we was going to ride down there in Daddy's truck. I said, I'm going to go down there with Daddy, and I said, I'm going to get you some real tomatoes, honey. Real tomatoes. My wife calls real tomatoes is what? Something that ain't store-bought. If it's store-bought, she don't think it's real. Now, I'm not knocking the store if you run a store or nothing, but she just thinks it would come off that vine. There's something about them being real, you know? And so, anyway, me and Daddy got in the truck, or Daddy and I got in the truck, whichever way, from the city, you know, it's Daddy and I from the country, it's me and Daddy. And so, you know, wherever you're at, whatever you want to do, me and Daddy went down to the country. And he drove down there, and I'm just dreaming about these delicious vegetables that I'm going to get, and I'm going to take some of them back home with me. And Daddy pulled up, and he's got a little house place on there on his property, and then around behind it's where he had his garden. So I dove out of the truck for it come to a stop good, and I slid up around the side of the corner of the house. And when Daddy walked up, I had my mouth gap wide open, and Daddy's statement was, what's your mouth open for? You trying to catch flies or something? You know, out in the country, they call it catching flies when you got your mouth open in shock. And what it was, because of this, I was in half shock. Because I said, wait a minute now, Daddy. I said, you brought me down here to show me your garden. Yeah, son. I said, Daddy, excuse me. Daddy, you told me that you only got a 6th grade education. You know, you didn't go all the way through school because you had to quit, you know, and help support the family. And I'm not belittling that whatsoever. I said, but Daddy, you sent me to school to get an education. And Daddy, I'm here to tell you, that is not a garden. All it is a bunch of dirt. And that's all it was dirt. And every now and then had a little hump in it like this, you know. And he said, that's the garden. I said, dirt, garden. I said, Daddy, if I've ever seen dirt before, that is pure old dirt. I mean, they wouldn't even a sprig or a sprout sticking up a half inch. I mean, I was magnifying it with my eyes, trying to get down there to it, and they wouldn't nothing coming up. And Daddy said, that's a garden. Can't you see that's a garden, son? I said, Daddy, that is not a garden. It's a pile of dirt. Garden, dirt. I said, Daddy, if I've ever seen dirt before, that is dirt. I said, Daddy, I don't see no garden, so there cannot be a garden there. He said, oh, you Bible school student, you. He said, you're not going to believe I got a garden unless you can see a garden. Is that what you're saying? I said, that's exactly what I'm saying, Daddy. I said, I don't see no peas, no okra, no cucumbers, no tomatoes, no cantaloupes, watermelons, no corn. I don't see them, and if I can't see them, they must not exist. He said, well, hang on, big boy, and come on down here. And he took me down to the end of each row where it stopped plowing, and he took him and broke him off a little stick and poked it in the ground. And then he took them seeds out of a package, and he had torn the top off the package that had a beautiful picture of the plant that he's planting, or the vegetable he's planting, and he had put that package right down over that stick. And he said, son, you want to see my peas? I said, yes, sir. He said, look at that. And I looked down there on that stick. There was the most beautiful picture of peas on that thing. He said, you don't see my watermelons? I said, yes, sir. He said, look at that. You don't see my butter beans? You don't see my cucumbers again? And right, I said, Daddy, I see it. He said, yes. He said, you believe because you can see. He said, I believe because I planted a seed. He said, my garden is there even though you can't see it. The seed, the Word of God, is an incorruptible seed, but it's got to be planted in the soul of your heart. Did Daddy have a garden? Yes. Why? Because he planted the seed that was capable of reproducing a garden, the vegetable. But if he had not planted a seed, he could not say that I've got a garden. Which brings us to this point. If you plant a seed that says, by his stripes I'm healed, let me tell you something, you've got a garden and you're healed. It might not be in full manifestation yet. Plant the seed of God, which is His Word, into the soul of your heart. How do you do it? Well, how do you plant a natural garden? There's some work involved in it. I'll be honest with you. I've been down there. I mean, first of all, if you're breaking up raw ground and new ground and everything, you've got to get the roots and the stumps and the rocks and everything else out of it. And then you've got to get it all worked up, and sometimes you have to turn in some fertilizer with it and everything else. According to the condition of the soil, you might have to bring in some different kind of soil according to where you're trying to put a garden at. I mean, there's work. And then you have to get out there and get your rows all fixed up, you know. And then you come along there, if you're planting by hand, and you stick it down in there so far, and you cover it up, and you go to the next one, you know. But it's all involved. A garden is a process that you go through to grow. Isn't that right? It just don't happen. You just don't say, I want a garden, and then a garden jumps up. A garden happens because we work it up. We go out and we prepare the soil, then we plant the seed, we water it, we fertilize it, until all of a sudden we start growing a garden. In fact, no doubt there's probably many of you sitting here tonight have got something growing at home right now, whether it be flowers, whether it be tomatoes, whether it be something. It'd pay if you ain't got nothing growing, go plant something, see how it works. And I'm here to tell you, because it works the same way with God's Word, the same way. So if you'll take the seed of God's Word, so what do? Find scriptures that promise you whatever it is that you want to believe God for. Take those scriptures and then begin to speak them out loud to yourself. Meditate on them. Remember, you digest the Word of God like you do the food that you eat. And as you do this, it'll build faith in your heart. You're planting the seed of God's Word in your garden. I said, Brother Randy, what in the world makes it grow? I hadn't figured all that out yet. That ain't my job. What makes a seed grow when you plant it in the ground out yonder? Don't know. All I know is that God is involved in it. And He put life in that seed. Well, I'm telling you, there's an incorruptible seed called God's Word. But it'll never grow unless it's planted in a garden. You can have a quart jar full of mustard seeds. And I'm talking, you know how little them things are. You can have a quart jar full of them sitting on a cupboard in your home, and they ain't going to do anything. But you take them seed out of that jar and scatter them out there on the ground, get them covered up a little bit, and them things are going to pop up after a while. Or most of them will anyway. Only why? Because you planted the seed or sowed the seed into the ground that produced the results that you want to see. And so it's the same way with God's Word. You got to take God's Word and you've got to plant it into the soil of your heart. God's Word is an incorruptible seed. And so faith, let me get back to that. Remember, Daddy told me, he said, you believe that I got a garden because you can see. He said, I believe because I planted a seed. And so let me give you again the simple definition of faith, the simplest one that I can come up with. I mean, because I have to have it simple. Faith, this is what faith is. Faith is believing that you have received something by faith in God's Word that has not yet manifested itself in the physical, sensory, perceptive world. In other words, I can't see it. I can't taste it. I can't touch it. I can't hear it. It's not there. The five physical senses, it cannot grab a hold to it. But faith is believing that I have it. Does it exist? Absolutely. It exists in the realm of the Spirit. But the only way that you get it out of the realm of the Spirit into a working reality in your life is by faith. Faith in what? Faith in God's Word. You take God's Word and you sow the seed of God's Word in your heart. If you have financial needs, what you need to do? Just obey the Bible. Malachi 3 says, bring the tithes and offerings in the storehouse. Maybe meet in my house. Improve me. He said, it opened the windows of heaven and pour out blessings, not room enough to receive it. In another place, it says, if you sow bountifully, you're going to reap also bountifully. If you sow sparingly, you're going to reap also sparingly. It also says in another place that God will supply all of your need according to His riches in glory by Christ Jesus. But you could just take any combination of scriptures. And what I would encourage you to do, if you've never believed God for a pair of socks, don't go out and try to believe God for $1 million. Because you grow and develop in faith. And a lot of times what happens to people when they hear things like this, well, I can just believe God for anything. No, you can't. You can only believe God to the extent that you got faith to receive from Him. You understand? So what you do is before you believe God for a pair of socks, you go to a suit and then whatever. You understand? Like, for instance, a good example. I was in a meeting not too long ago, and a man, well-intended, a very wealthy man, multimillionaire, a good friend of mine. But he just slid up beside me, and there in one of the meetings, nobody around us. He said, Brother Randy, he knew I was a pilot, flying an airplane, you know. He said, Brother Randy, he said, let me tell you what I'm going to do. I said, what you going to do, sir? He said, I'm going to believe God to give you a jet so you don't have to fly a combustion engine anymore. I said, why are you doing that, sir? I said, believe God that you can pay for it and take care of it and operate it once I get it. He said, now, wait a minute. I said, now, you just wait a minute. I said, I ain't ready for no jet, sir. Excuse me. Call me, oh, ye a little faith if you want to. No, I'm talking about why I know where I'm at. I'm not ready to fly a jet. The plane that I call it fly right now, we cut every corner we can to fly. But if I had this jet, like he's talking about, for me to fly, he's going to cost me about $800 an hour. $800 an hour. $800 an hour. $800 an hour, which is nothing to God. Realistically, I told that man, I was talking with common sense. That don't mean that one day I won't fly a jet. That won't mean that one day I won't believe God for a jet. But that was not the season that I was in my life, you understand, at that particular time. And so what I want to do is let him know right up front, don't try to believe God for me nothing unless you're going to believe God to take care of it once it gets here. And a jet is going to cost me about $1,200 to fuel it up one time. And so when I get my jet, I'm going to stop by your house. But what I'm saying is, don't go out and try to reach out and grab something. If you have never walked in any area of faith and believe God for something, start out where you are. If you never believe God for, you know, $10, you understand, why go out and try to believe Him for $1,000? And that don't mean that you can't. That don't mean that God won't work in a supernatural way. But what you got to do is start where you're at. So how long does it take to grow? just a couple of days, exercising God's Word, meditating on His Word, believing His Word, God will work miracles for you. Now, on the other side of that, let's balance it out. That don't mean that you can't believe God for anything. If you got faith to believe God for it, where are you going to get the faith? From God's Word. And God will minister to you supernaturally. If you've got the faith to receive, you can get faith from His Word, and God will supernaturally change your life, regardless of what it is. Remember, God works in two ways. He ministers to your needs in two ways. One, through the gifts of the Holy Ghost and operation, manifestation, demonstration. Number two, through faith in His Word. And what do? We are God's garden, and we take His Word and plant it into the soil of our heart, and then and only then can the incorruptible seed of God's Word begin to produce results and change our life. Let's stand to our feet and bow our heads in prayer. Father, in the name of Jesus.
I know you were blessed by this message. If you would like to receive more information about Randall Greer Ministries, or if you'd like to receive our free newsletter, just let us know. We'd be happy to send it to you. Just write us at Randall Greer Ministries, P.O. Box 2227, Owosso, Oklahoma 74055. Or you can contact us at our website, www.rgm.me. And remember, God is always with us.